Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, if you're an investor who feels a bit traumatized by the events of 2020, we can't blame you, especially given the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic that's caused even the best of the professional investors and fund managers to throw out their strategies and try to contain losses. Well, this might also tempt folks to try and look ahead to 2021 and what that might actually hold for markets if there's more hope or continued pessimism in the future. Amundi itself, Europe's largest investment manager, has just released their 2021 outlook for global markets. What do they see in store for asset classes in the year ahead, especially for global asset classes, that is, even equities here in Singapore? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're pleased to be joined by Mr. David Poh, the head of investments for Amundi here in Singapore, to help outline their outlook moving forward. Mr. Poh, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to join us today, and good afternoon, and we hope you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, JP. Glad to be here.
All right, Mr. Poh, so let's talk about the last 11 months, and we still have about a month to go to 2020, and many would like to just forget 2020 as a bad dream and look ahead to 2021, which is what you folks at Amundi have done. What are the key themes that are underpinning Amundi's global market outlook for 2021, and do you think it's going to be a better year or a worse year for markets overall?
Well, the good news is it's only a dream.
Right. All right.
2020 is over, yeah. So in reality, when we wake up, things are definitely getting better in 2021. This is a health crisis that turns into an economic crisis, and in the end, maybe will turn into a financial crisis. It is still too early to tell. But in 2021, we are very constructive on risk assets. There are a few reasons why we are constructive. Number one, the U.S. election has removed a lot of uncertainties over what is going to happen. And this reduces the risk premium. And when risk premium is reduced, risk appetite should come in, and that should be very positive for risk assets. Second point is interest rate remains very low, and it continues to be low and longer for the next 1 year. And because the interest rate environment is still low, inflation is still low, we think risk assets will continue to do better in 2021. Third point is, within the global economic recovery, there is an uneven pace and a multi-speed recovery. We see that Asia is leading the growth in terms of economic growth, led by China, whereas the rest of the world is slowly picking up its pieces. And that's the reason why, in terms of asset allocation, we prefer Asia relative to the developed market. And within Asia, we much prefer North Asia to Southeast Asia.
Interesting, you mentioned that you think that yields will actually stay low, because if people believe that when the economic recovery comes, and we're hoping it comes sooner rather than later, there might be a steepening of the yield curve and perhaps a rise in some of those yields. Does Amundi think that the rise in those yields will be negligible and still enough to tolerate this risk on this risk appetite that you think will actually rise in 2021?
That's a very good question. I think if the U.S., we based on U.S. 10-year Treasury yield, as long as the U.S. Treasury yield does not go against 120 or 1.2%, I think it will not hurt any of the earnings that we are forecasting. Corporates at less than 1.2% U.S. 10-year Treasuries will not be affected by any of this inflationary environment. So to answer the question, if inflation remains at a current benign stage and U.S. 10-year Treasury do not go above 1.2, I think the earnings will continue to be much better, for global growth.
Fair enough. So it seems that there's reason to be optimistic in the future, especially with the promise of a possible COVID-19 mm-hmm. vaccine and the potential end of the pandemic. However, we have to focus on what we have to do to get there, because right now, David, we're still facing what looks like a cruel winter in the Northern Hemisphere. Europe is looking at a possible double-dip recession, and the U.S. recovery is showing cracks. Do you think that things will have to get worse before they get better, or do you think 2020's nightmare will prove to have a sequel in the year ahead?
Frankly, I don't think there'll be a repeat of what's going to happen in 2020. If you've seen the news lately, the vaccine has been proven to be 94-95% efficacy and is more effective. The monetary stimulus and the fiscal stimulus that has been put in place over the year will continue to work its way into the fiscal as well as the real economy. And that's going to give a boost and a kicker to the real economy in the Northern Hemisphere, in both U.S. as well as in Europe. And let's go back to what we alluded to earlier. There is a multi-recovery, multi-speed, and Asia is the one that's leading the growth. And that's the reason why we prefer Asia relative to the developed market.
All right. But do you think that that we'll have to probably go through a few more months of pain? Because while we're waiting for the vaccine to get rolled out, we're seeing COVID-19 infections continue to hamper some of the economies. Just to stay realistic with investors here, should people perhaps just perhaps hold on for a little bit longer, as painful as it is, before we start to see some of this easing and benefit that Amundi is seeing?
As asset managers, we try not to time the market.
All right.
We try not to time the market because a lot of events are unfolding right now, and it seems that the events that's unfolding is more positive than negative. Let's look back at from November, you have the U.S. election that is already removed the uncertainty. You have the vaccine announcement that's coming in strong. You have third quarter numbers that came in much better than expected, and you have the RECEP that has been just rolled out in the region, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, including the 15 members of Asia, and that is going to boost economic growth in Asia, and that's the reason why this is going to continue its momentum into the fourth quarter as well as in 2021.
All right, fair enough. We're still listening to Mr. David Po, the head of investments for Singapore at Amundi on Money FM 89.3, to get their outlook for global markets. And David, I want to focus in on your outlook on Singapore. You did mention that you guys are a little bit more constructive in North Asia versus Southeast Asia. Singapore, though, is rather unique because it's such an open country that even though things seem to be stabilizing in terms of COVID here, we're so dependent on what goes on externally with the global economy, which and many of our major trading partners here. How is this perhaps influencing Amundi's outlook for Singapore markets in particular, from asset classes from the STI to bonds and even the Singapore dollar? Is it a bit rosy, or do you think that Singapore will probably be lumped in with the rest of your outlook for broader Southeast Asia?
No, I think Singapore will definitely do better in the year 2021. It is the second worst performing market. If you look at the STI index, it is the second worst performing market in the entire region. This is because, as you rightly pointed out, it is a very open economy. When there's a global recession, Singapore will get hurt badly. But if global economic growth were to be on a strong path and a very positive momentum, it is the reverse for Singapore. Singapore economy will do much better than what it was back in 2020, and that's the reason why we think that the equity market should do better in the year 2021. Now, the Singapore fixed income market, the bond market, will continue to stay as it is. Inflation rate will be low, and we think that the rate compression has done its course. So in terms of the relative asset allocation, we much prefer equity market in Singapore relative to the fixed income market in Singapore.
Fair enough. All right. So, David, let's talk about what many investment managers are pointing out as an impending rotation into other battered sectors like cyclicals, for instance, and value stocks. In your opinion, and based on your experience as an investment manager, David, do you think that now is the right time to start hunting for value in terms of battered sectors, which are primed for a possible recovery, or even just fishing for some of these cheaper valuations? Is it safe to get back out of the water and perhaps bottom fish for some of these cheaper valuations in battered sectors, or do you think that the waters might be still a little too choppy to actually do that? What are your thoughts on this?
This is a very good question. I think one shouldn't look at a broad brush by saying that, because the cyclical growth is coming back, one should be going back to the industrials or value stocks because they are cheap. One should look at both on a geography as well as a sector basis and do security selection, and which is what Amundi does very well. On a sector basis, if you look at North Asia, if you were to jump into the value stocks, for example, the banks are trading at 0.5, 0.6 times price to book, giving you a 5% dividend yield. These are very good value stocks. But we see that there is a top-line compression in terms of the loans growth, in terms of the margin compression, and there is also the cost of the non-performing loans that may eat into the earnings. So in North Asia, we are not so particularly convinced that value stocks will do well in North Asia. On the other hand, growth stocks, the tech stocks, the new tech stocks, the stocks that goes into the new electric vehicle, alternative energy, hydrogen, these stocks will continue to do well in 2021. Mostly because they are the areas of growth and also pushed by funds flow from the ESG angle. We also like e-commerce in terms of how the platform providers can generate stronger earnings, stronger revenue growth compared to old economy communication services. So that's in North Asia. In Southeast Asia, I think value stocks should do better than growth stocks. value stocks such as the banks in Thailand and the banks in Indonesia, they are trading at very cheap valuation. And I think if the economic growth were to be back into strong momentum, these banks would do a lot of recovery and these NPLs may no longer be recognized and they will have a big kicker out of this growth. So therefore, you have to look at distinguish between geographies as well as the sector in each of these geographies to decide whether value or growth should outperform.
Very salient advice. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but I'd like to thank Mr. David Po, the head of investments in for Amundi here in Singapore, for taking some time out of the schedule to share with us Amundi's global market outlook for 2021 and also their outlook for Singapore and the region. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these very uncertain times, and we look forward to the next time you can grace us with your presence on the show. Meanwhile, have a great Thursday afternoon ahead, sir.
Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.